from the Star Rentals Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, here we go. Headlines 402 on a Thursday afternoon, brought to you by our friends at Buddy's Goodies in Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's.
We'll do it live!
Well, what was rumored has now been made official by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Urban Meyer is in, hired by the Jaguars. There's their new head coach. He won three national championships at Florida, Ohio State. His last college football game was against anybody? The Huskies in the Rose Bowl a couple years ago. Urban Meyer, who the Jaguars, by the way, do play the Seahawks next season, be 57 years old in July. Urban Meyer is in, the new coach of the Jaguars hired today.
Panthers hiring Hawks VP of football ops Scott Fitterer as their new GM. Lions have hired former Rams director of scouting Brad Holmes to be their new GM. And the Rams, in return, will receive 2 third-round comp picks. Why? Because it's a new league rule.
Thought the Lions were going to hire John Schneider.
So it's kind of a fun challenge now. We love it.
What happened with that? Let's see. Nick Saban, Bear Bryant Award winner, head coach of the year in college football for the first time ever at Alabama. He's won the Bear Bryant Award. He won it when he was back at LSU, so second time overall. Mac Jones, Jalen Waddle, defensive lineman Christian Barmore, and DB Patrick Surtain from Alabama, all four of them declaring for the NFL draft today. Mike Holmgren right now.
Hey, don't do that to me! Don't give me that hand! Don't do that to me!
Your home for the 12th man presents Mike Holmgren.
Say, on sprint option, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded, doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Powered by Toyota of Kirkland. Visit toyotaofkirkland.com. By Windermere at windermere.com. By Team Bruce at guildmortgage.com. By Car Toys, a better way to go. By Real Steel. Find yours. Visit your local steel dealer today. And by Redbox. Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Head to the box or stream on demand.
This is what I have my little peewee guys. Pop Warner, when I start coaching, they can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle Sports Radio 950.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. You can't start it that way.
No, you can't. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
KJR.
You know how a lot of people now want to be paid in Bitcoin? You've heard that going around, like Russell Okung wants to be paid in Bitcoin, and smart of him to make that move. We would like to actually officially announce here on the radio show that Mike Holmgren, from now on, will be paid in popsicles on the radio show. So no more checks for you, Mike. You will now receive a box of popsicles every Thursday from me and Dick. Fair?
Fair. You know what? I deserve that. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite flavor of popsicle, by the way? Orange, grape, cherry?
I like those ones, you know. No, you got the three levels, you know?
The firecracker.
You want to mix it up.
You like the firecracker. Oh, big fan. You know what? For my next job, I want to be the guy that writes the jokes on the popsicle stick. That's what job I want, man. That'd be tremendous. Well, listen, it's great to have you back on the show. Thanks for doing the show just a couple days ago when the word came out about Brian Schottenheimer. Yeah. As we sit here now, you know, just, 48 hours later after that move was made by the Hawks, any more thoughts as that now marinates with you?
No, I thought about it a little bit more, and it just appears to me as though they had a meeting, and Pete wants to run an offense a certain way, and Brian probably talked to him about not doing that and trying to make a case, and then it wasn't going to work because Pete wants to run the offense a certain way. And so it's probably best for everybody involved. But, you know, Shoddy's a good football coach. And I read a comment by Russell Wilson. Russell really likes him. So now they got to find somebody and make that work too. But, listen, I was part of that a little bit with the 49ers, and I've told you that, you know, where the head coach all of a sudden hires you and things are going great, and then all of a sudden – he enters into the play calling, or he enters into something that surprises you and catches you off guard. No, don't call that. Call something else. And it goofs you up. And it's, I think that's probably what happened. But, you know, the head coach is the head coach. He can do that. But it doesn't usually work so well. And I think that's kind of, that rises up and bites you sometimes.
Do you anticipate a veteran play caller, a guy that's been an OC before for many years coming in here, or do you think it's going to be, for lack of a better term, a Pete Carroll yes man?
Well, you know what? I don't think it's going to be a veteran play caller unless that veteran play caller is a run first guy. And you know what? If your responsibility is to call the plays on offense, to get locked into a particular, you know, I like to run too. There's nothing wrong with running the ball and running it well. That helps your offense. But there are times when you got to do other things as well. But I think if you're a veteran coach to come in here and you've done things a certain way for a long time, I just don't think that's the way they're going to go. I think they're going to go with someone a little less experienced, and then really buy into what Pete wants.
Well, there's a lot of folks out there, Mike, and I'm trying to be respectful of my elders here as I ask a question like this. A lot of folks out there are just concerned that Pete Carroll is going to be 70 years old in September. He's stuck in his ways. He's not in favor of something new. He's got his philosophy, and he's sticking to it. And the idea of him evolving and adapting to offenses in 2020 is just not going to happen. Is that an unfair accusation from some folks?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's a fair evaluation. He's been very successful doing things a certain way. And listen, I think they played great offense at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden something happened. Now, I don't think any of us know exactly what happened, but then all of a sudden it did. They have a game where it doesn't go exactly the way, or Russell got a little careless or whatever happened. And then all of a sudden, you know, if you have to be sold on a particular philosophy, and then all of a sudden it's going great, but then all of a sudden you get a hiccup, and then you go, and the head coach or whoever goes, aha, no, I want to go back, you know, and I think that could have happened. And, you know, it's Brian, he's going to get a job somewhere. He's a good coach, Pete, Seahawks, the job here in Seattle is a great city, a great team. You got a great quarterback. It's attractive to a lot of people. So, if the guy's going to be really honest, you got to have that talk with the head coach or whoever's hiring you.
Well, that thought kind of jives with the tweet I read last segment to Softy from Michael Sean Dugar of The Athletic, where he says that, you know, Russ didn't forget how to be a quarterback. Pete and Shoddy didn't forget how to coach. He says, I'm convinced the biggest problems happen behind the scenes in ways we'll never know, and that's what makes finding the solution so difficult. Maybe paint a picture of scenes that have been difficult in the past, either in your locker room or friends of yours' locker rooms that have confided in you. What potentially could have happened?
Well, if you have a defensive-oriented head coach, someone who has been, prior to his being a head coach, you know, defense was his thing. He's a defense coordinator. He grows up that way, and that's how he thinks. I grew up just the other way, so in all fairness. From my own experience, and I think I've told you guys before with the 49ers, when George Seifert took over for Bill Walsh, the first 2 years he just stayed. He let me do whatever I wanted to do, and we go to two Super Bowls. I mean, we go to a Super Bowl, and then we almost go to another one if it hadn't been for a fumble against the Giants in the championship game. And then all of a sudden, George wanted to start go to offensive meetings. He never went before. And then he wanted to do the first 15 of the game. And then I'd call plays, and okay, so then we get to my last year there, and it was crazy. And I'd have Monday meetings with him, and he'd go, I goofed you up, didn't I? I said, well, you know, you don't want to say, yeah, you did, but I said whatever I said. I didn't come after him or anything. And so he goes, okay. But it never stopped. And then all of a sudden Montana gets hurt, Young gets hurt.
Yep.
So we have Steve Bono, and we're 6-6 or something. And then he calls me in and he goes, listen, I'm going to stay out of it now. It's all yours.
And I, now and I don't said, have these
yeah,
guys.
Thanks a lot, pal.
Yeah, and I said, okay. I go back in the meeting room, and I had Bob McKittrick, who coached forever, one of the finest men and coaches ever, and Sherm Lewis and these guys who coached a long time with the 49ers. I told them, okay, he's going to let us do it. And they said, Mike, you know what that means. when it doesn't work, you know who's going to be sitting right there taking the heat. I said, I didn't even think about that. I was just so happy, But then Bona was unbelievable. And we just smoked it the last part of the season, and that allowed me to get interviews for the head job.
Let's do this, Mike. Mike Holmgren with us. He'll enjoy his popsicles during the break, his pay for the day. And then we're going to come back and ask you, how involved should Russell Wilson be in picking the new OC? Should he have been involved in the decision to get rid of Brian Schottenheimer? A lot more with Mike Holmgren. We got to talk about the rest of the football team as well. Can't just talk about the offensive coordinator. They got all kinds of issues moving into 2021. So more with Mike Holmgren next on Softy and Dick. Don't forget, Tim Leiwicki will join us at 5:20 from the Oakview Group. And if you're a fan of the NBA coming back to town, I think you're going to want to hear this in about an hour from now, right here on 950 KJM.
So get ready. Now back to Mike Holmgren, powered by Toyota of Kirkland, by Windermere, by Team Bruce at Guild Mortgage, by Car Toys, by Real Steel, and by Redbox on your home for the 12th man, Sports Radio 950 KJR.
You know, we didn't get to ask Mike Holmgren, Dick, the most important question of all regarding the offensive coordinator search.
What's that?
Does he want the job?
It's true. I think that's because we already know the answer, but we might as
maybe
well
not.
Ask
him. I don't know, Mike.
No, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah? So, what's your
that
answer?
That would work. That would really work, yeah.
You want the gig?
As long as I get my way, I'm very stubborn that way.
Yeah, what would your reaction be besides feigning if Pete Carroll called you to be his next OC?
I would say I would be flattered, but listen, it wouldn't work. It was like when Jerry Jones offered me the job in Dallas. I said, Jerry, you know what? Thank you very much, but I don't think it'd work.
Okay, how about this? You can call the plays from your condo. You never have to go to the stadium ever.
Wow.
Hey, that wouldn't be bad. But I tell you what, Pete may like you, Coach, because I'm looking here. You ran the Sean Alexander
yep.
in 2004 and 5 ran the ball 723 Woo. Times in those yeah. two seasons. He'd be all for that.
Oh, no. I'm telling you, that's what this thing, you know, we get into discussions about this, the three of us, and that's what I referred to. I said, you can do both. I mean, it's just not one or the other.
Right.
But you know what? I will say this, and something we haven't talked about much, and then I'll let it go. The defense has a lot to do with it, too. People are not talking about that at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was a factor in the whole thing, too.
Well, we've talked about it. Thanks for listening, pal, first of all. Second of all, no, I'm kidding you. We have talked about that you know what? If you want to run the offense, and I don't know, I'll make a statement here, and you tell me if I'm out of line, okay? You want to run the offense that Pete Carroll's talking about running, you better damn well get that defense up to a near elite level. Is that fair?
I think it's fair.
Yep.
I do. I think it's fair because when they needed to score 40 points or 35 points or they had to score that much early in the season. And then things changed. They didn't have to score as much, but they had to at one point, yeah.
Coach, Russ said today that he is going to be actively involved in picking the new OC. Is that a good idea? Is that something you would do if you were the head coach?
No, I would not do that, but I would certainly not disrespect him. But I might have a conversation with him. I absolutely would have a conversation with him prior to my making the decision, but that's not a player's decision. You know, in this day and age, now maybe it's different now. I don't know. You know, I'm old, but in this day and age, you have players, you have coaches, and there are responsibilities for each.
Mm-hmm.
And my responsibility is to help you be the best player you can be, and your responsibility is to play.
Yeah.
And then those type of decisions, no, that's not his call. As much as I love him. And I would have a talk with him, but that would be as far as it would go.
Well, I mean, it sounds like he is going to be a part of it, right? Because he said so much today. So you're telling me that you think that's a mistake, that Russell Wilson would be a part of those conversations?
I didn't read it that way. I don't think he's going to be a part. I mean, I don't think he's going to be part of the decision. I don't think he is. But maybe he is.
Well,
you know, who knows?
If he is a part of the decision, I guess. You know, I got a text from somebody right away who said, wait a minute, you're telling me that Russell Wilson was not a part of the decision to fire Brian Schottenheimer, but he'll be a part of the decision to hire somebody else. I mean, does that make sense to you?
No. I mean, but you don't. See, that's where, in these types of situations, the player is not involved in that. He's not involved in it, and you know it's so I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much truth is involved in that. You know, I mean, Russell is he knows the importance to the franchise of who he is and what he's done.
Yeah.
And then I would hope that in any meeting I would have with any of my quarterbacks at any time, you know, Bill Walsh, quite honestly, when he hired me, he didn't ask Joe Montana what he thought about that. You know, he just did it. And I did that. Huh. I did that my own self at times. You know, as much as I loved Favre and Matt Hasselbeck and those guys, no, heck, when they come to the sideline after a timeout, I go, "What do you like here?" "Oh no, just call something." They don't want to do that.
Russ also said today he doesn't think that the offense is quote crazy far off. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's. When you lose a game, everyone in the world expects you to win, is what happened. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, what happened? What's wrong? And you have a tendency to overreact, in my opinion. People do. They're upset. You know, the coaches are upset. Everyone's upset. But, you know, it was just that particular day, it just wasn't in the cards. And maybe, and it, I will admit, when I watched the game, I told you guys, there was something, the offense was disjointed, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think part of that, by Pete's own admission, is he entered into some of that. I don't know how they do it on the sideline. But if he did what happened to me, and I said in the latter stages of my time with the 49ers, that's hard. Mm. And you get goofed up.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just kind of hung up on the Russell should not be a part of the process thing. And I'm going to yell at you here a little bit, all right? So
be gentle.
Please don't take this personally. No, I'm just, I mean, yeah. don't you want to, especially with a guy like Russell, who is, let's face it, a real unique kind of character, a unique personality, the personality mesh between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback, making sure these guys are kind of, you know, liking each other, they can talk to each other, they can communicate with each other, they like hanging out with each other. Isn't that kind of an important deal here? Personality, is that not a factor for you at all as a head coach?
Oh, that's so sweet. You know, really.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, you know. I think, yeah. No, do they have to be able to communicate with one another? Absolutely, absolutely. But you know, he doesn't. His knowledge of coaches in the league that he knows is not even close to what Pete knows, or what you know. This is what you do, and so you know. Oh, I like this guy. I like their offense. I like what they do. You know, maybe this is all of a sudden a new thing. Because the young man in Texas is you know he's upset about stuff and he's kind of saying things, you know, it's just different now. But I don't think I would talk to the quarterback about it, absolutely. But I was thinking, I think what they do have to talk about now before you even hire a coach is explain to your quarterback if he's a Russell Wilson who is elite. About the offense and what's going on. I mean, you have to have that conversation.
Right.
And if I were to tell any quarterback that I ever coached, hey, listen, we're really going to go to a stump, crush, kill offense. Thank you very much for, you know, your abilities. You will throw when we have to, but, you know, we'll do this. They'd look at me like I was at a screw loose, you know.
Well, there are folks that, maybe many folks that worry that a run first stomp crush kill offense neuters Russell's ability to be a star quarterback. But if you look at the numbers, I mean, they suggest that Russell's actually had his best seasons when they have been a run first offense. Case in point, a couple of years ago in 2018, they were number one in the league in rushing because it sets up his deep ball game. Where are you kind of on that debate?
I think a great running game helps your passing game. But to win in this league and to win, unless you have a shutdown defense, like the Seahawks had in the Super Bowl days and when they won the Super Bowl, or in years past, the Chicago Bears in 85 and the Baltimore Ravens when they had Lewis at linebacker. If you don't have that, you better be able to throw the ball and throw it well. because just by running the ball, I don't think that's enough.
Yeah.
Unless you have a great, great defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the question then becomes, and Mike Holmgren's with us, so what happened in the second half of the year that bogged down the passing game? I mean, because I agree with you. This is still a passing league. I mean, the final four teams in the NFC, Goff, Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, passing quarterbacks, passing attacks. They're going after people, obviously. You got to throw the ball. You got to score points in the NFL to win. Every now and then, there's going to be an outlier. But I think overall, for the most part, you got to throw the ball to win. What happened in the second half of 2020 that led to them falling apart?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think they all of a sudden their offense was different, mm-hmm. and they went to more of a counting on the run. Carson came back; he was healthy. I think it makes sense to have him carry the ball more. That makes all the sense in the world to me. But you're going to need to be able to throw the ball. Look in the game they just played.
Right.
They were 11 for 27 throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they didn't try to throw it. It just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so the bigger question is, you got to say, not running or passing, why didn't the 27 throws, what happened there? Were we seeing certain cover? Actually, I think you should be able to complete. I'm going from the premise that if I know what the coverage is, I can complete the ball. If I knew ahead of time what the coverage is, I'm going to call a play and we're going to have somebody open. And if we don't hit it, it's because we got sacked before he can even look, or it's a bad throw or something. But we're going to have somebody open. And they were 11 for 20. I think it was. Maybe I'm wrong in the stats, but it was not good in the game. And so, you know, that's what happened in the game. And so, but then when you lose a game like that, like I said, and everyone's upset, and we got to fix this, we got to do this. Mm-hmm. And okay, but don't, you know, you got a quarterback who makes things happen, he's exciting, you know, don't go completely away from what got you here.
Yeah, right. You mentioned Carson a moment ago. Obviously, the chances that Carson comes back probably got better with this firing, if that's the way Pete wants to go. But what would you do there, and how much would you spend on a guy like that that is good when he's in there, but he's not always in there?
That's the question, Dick, I think. I mean, and that's the thing that they talk about. You know, there's going to be a ceiling, I think. You know, like you said, Alexander carried the ball so much for a four or five year stretch in there, and they don't do that anymore. That's not how people do it. But to have Chris Carson carry the ball 12 times a game and then come out because he's breathing heavy or his foot, you know, he hasn't been shown the ability to be real durable. But I love him as a player. I'd hand him the ball more, I believe.
Yeah.
But it hasn't worked. So you got to be careful where you're going to spend the money. They have a lot of free agents, and it's going to be interesting. One of the interesting things, it's be interesting how they spend it, because there's a lot of, you know, Pete made the comment, I want to sign everybody. Well, you're not going to be able to do that, but you know, I'm sure you do. But how are you going to do this?
Right. Well, Mike Holmgren's with us, and I mean, some of those questions on the defensive side. Shaquille Griffin, for example, free agent, right? I mean, does he look like a $10 million a year corner back to you? I mean, that's what the market says, a guy like that, a top 20 corner, top 15 corner. Does Shaquille Griffin strike you as a guy that you're willing to spend $10 million a year on right now?
Well, the salaries are so much different now than they used to be, but I would say he's their best corner. You know, he's clearly the best corner that they have, so you better keep him.
Right.
Yeah, they got to figure out a way to get that done, in my opinion. But you know, there are a lot of other questions, you know, to answer there. But I think when you're talking about him, yeah, get that done. If we're in a meeting, you know, I told you what I did with my guys. They do all this cap stuff with me. We can't do this. I said, here, let's do this. I'm going to tell you who I want to keep. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you the players I want, and then we'll go through it. Then you tell me, no, we're over here, so we got to do something. Okay, so then we adjust. But this is the team I want. Let's see if we can get them, you know. And so that's what happens in those meetings.
Well, and then there's the KJ conundrum, because we had this 2 years ago. We were like, okay, do we re-sign KJ, who it looks like his game was slipping a little bit? They decided to, and they hit a home run. I mean, he was really good in 2019 and great in 2020. He's like getting better as he's getting older. So now we're in the conundrum again. What do you do?
Yeah, I know. He's one of the guys I would sign as well. That's what the thing I just mentioned to you. But I must admit, I will be the first to admit that I have a that's why they didn't let me do contracts. You know, I pay everybody and just keep the guys I wanted. Well, you can't do it that way. So, but he's, you need him on your defense. They didn't, you know, I think they need him. Now, it's going to be up to him. They're going to offer him X amount of dollars, and will it be enough? And it's going to be his call.
Mike Holmgren with us. I want to get away from the Seahawks for a quick second before you take off. Urban Meyer is going to be 57 years old in July and just took the Jaguars job. He's never coached or worked a day of his life in the National Football League. What do you make of that hire?
Well, I think they hired the best coach that I can think of, honestly. I think, having said that, though, if you've never coached in the NFL, it's not college football. It's different. And we've seen, Nick Saban, you know, Lou Holtz. I could name great college coaches who didn't like professional football and it didn't work for them, so they went back to college. Why? Because it's not as cut and dried. You don't, in college, you can make the decision. Everything is just exactly the way you want it. That's not always the way it is in the NFL. In the NFL, you have an owner to deal with, and sometimes you have a general manager to deal with. Heck, even I had all the juice in Seattle when I came, but I still had to deal with some people, and it had an effect on the team. So it's different. So then you got to figure out, and it's more even. You're not Alabama getting all the best players in the country, or Ohio State and getting all the best players in the country, and then it's, you know, okay, we'll play. No, that's not how it works in our league. So I think he's an excellent, excellent coach, and I think he'll do well. But it's going to be interesting to see. That'll be one to watch.
Coach, there are reports everywhere that Hawks VP of Football Operations, Scott Fitterer, is expected to be hired by the Panthers as their new GM. Now, he's been at the VMAX since 2001, so what have been your run-ins with him?
Yeah, he was with me. He's great. Every time I go over there, I try and poke my nose in the door and say hello. And they hired a really good guy. He'll do a great job for them. And I was very, very happy when I read that.
Were you surprised that John Schneider re-signed? There were some rumors he might want to take off and leave.
No, I wasn't surprised. I didn't think they'd let him out of there for one thing, and he got a great contract. Heck, let's see, two through 27. I'll be 90.
That is not true.
I mean, it was great. I think the only thing, because he grew up in Green Bay, the only job that ever kind of tickled his fancy other than the one he has right now, I think, would be the Packers. But,
right.
You know, I didn't think he was going to go anywhere. I thought, though, it's a great time to have other teams bidding on you. You know, because then the Seahawks have to do something, and they did, fortunately.
Yeah, great time for him to have like seven jobs come open in the NFL, man, and no doubt.
Oh no,
drive that contract up. All right, man. Listen, good stuff. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll talk on Thursday. Appreciate this, man.
Thanks, Coach.
Sounds good, guys. See you.
Mike Holmgren with us. Tim Leiwicki, CEO of the Oakview Group, is going to join us on the air coming up at 5:20. Again, if you're a fan of the NBA coming back to town, you're not going to want to miss this. Testimonials at 49451. Mike Holmgren says Russell Wilson should not be involved at all.
Yeah.
It should be Pete Carroll's decision. Don't even talk to the quarterback. Just hire a guy and tell him who it is. We agree with that? Coming up on Sundays.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
All right, again, if you're a basketball fan, you want to see the Sonics return to Seattle, I would definitely recommend checking out Tim Leiwicki at 5:20 tonight.
Good idea.
Very, very good interesting. Idea. I think you might feel pretty good about the future of the NBA in town. So that's coming up in about half an hour from now, 49451, Coors Light text line, brought to you by hammerandnell.build. Mike Holmgren says Russell Wilson should have no input at all. None. Zip. Zero. On the hiring of the new OC. We agree with that? Go ahead.
What would happen if Russell called all the plays? He did great when his earpiece stopped working.
Yeah. Well, I know that a lot of quarterbacks did that. Peyton Manning a lot when he played in the NFL, you know. Look, man, I think Russell Wilson should have input on who the new OC is. I actually disagree with Mike on that. I'm not saying that you allow Russell to name the hire to tell you who that guy should be, but if Russell's right, and I think he is, that this team's at a crossroads and this is maybe the most important hire at this stage of his career, I think he should be consulted on who that guy is.
Define consulted. I mean, if you're actually taking his advice into consideration, that might be going too far. But I think what you do is you massage his ego. I think you say, hey, Russ, what do you think about this? And then you go your own way.
I don't think it should be more than just his ego. I think this is a guy that he's going to work with. This is the most important hire that you're going to make the entire offseason. I think what he thinks and a guy that he needs to be able to work with, be on the same page, track with each other. Look, I'm not saying you let the guy make the hire, right? If that's the case, then just let Russell Wilson run the search firm, figure out how much they're going to pay the guy, and go offer the guy a deal. But I absolutely think that him and John Schneider and Pete Carroll should absolutely talk about this and figure out what the three of them want together and see if they can find that guy. Absolutely.
I'm somewhere in the middle. I know Holmgren is old school. Yeah, I lean old school, and old school is you have administration and you have the employees. And Russell Wilson is a very, 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 very well-compensated employee.
That's why you don't let him make the hire. That's why you talk with him about it. Mike's talking about like leaving him out of the whole thing altogether.
Yes, he is. And I don't know if I don't go get that far Mike.
All right, 450, what's next?
I don't think that if Russell Wilson had any say about the firing of the coordinator, he might still be here.
Let's live in that world for a second. So Pete Carroll calls Russell and says, hey, we're considering making a change. What do you think?
He would try to...
And he said...
You know Russell.
You know what? Well, we know him behind in front of the camera. I have no idea about what's going on behind the scenes with this guy. Maybe he's completely cutthroat for all we know. I got no idea.
I think Russ would have tried to convince him to keep him.
I don't know. Russell Wilson had a passer rating of 91.3 in the second half of the year and was the 16th rated quarterback by Pro Football Focus. And he played terrible. Mm-hmm. Maybe Russell Wilson also believed it was time to move on. Who knows? What's next?
Russ is the puppet, and Pete is the ventriloquist.
Oh, I tell you what you just did there.
Ventriloquist?
Well, he meant ventriloquist, but that's how Texty pronounces
that.
He just described what's going on in L.A. with Sean McVay and Jared Goff. Somebody's pulling the strings for Russell Wilson.
Well, the difference is
they just cut the strings off of Brian Schottenheimer, if that's the case.
Yeah, the difference is that I've always thought that Sean McVay literally would tell Jared Goff who to throw the ball to before the microphone or the speaker went off in his helmet. I don't think Brian Schottenheimer ever did that to Russell.
Is that true? Does Sean McVay really do that? Does he tell Jared Goff, hey, Cooper Kupp should be wide open on the drag route on this next play. Look there first. Maybe he does.
Well, when you hear things from a lot of different people and they all kind of come into I mean, it makes sense, right?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I just think that Russell Wilson knows what the hell's going on. He's in his 10th year in the NFL, and I think that we're making a mountain out of a molehill with this thing, trying to figure out what happened to this offense. Simply put, Russell Wilson just didn't play well. Good. Yeah. He's got to play better, and he can play better. What's next?
Pete Carroll has always had problems with offensive coordinators going back to his USC days and Norm Chow, and it has not stopped.
Well, he's now had four guys in 12 years on the job, which I don't think is really that uncommon, to be honest with you. You know, guys move on, they take head jobs, they get promotions, all that stuff. I mean, I guess the issue with Pete is that his guys didn't exactly get head jobs and get promoted. I mean, Jeremy Bates was just let go, Daryl Bevel was let go, and Brian Schottenheimer was let go. It's not like these guys left because they got promotions. They left because they got fired. That's why, because they weren't working out.
Reading our friend Scott Wolf here, Carroll versus Chow, an article that he put out about 12 years ago. Chow got increasingly frustrated about how Carroll, quote, meddled.
Yeah.
in the offense.
Well, so I guess...
It's been going on for a long time.
I guess in some ways he should be able to meddle. He's the head coach, but I also think it's a lot easier for that coach to meddle when he's an offensive guy versus a defensive guy. I know a lot of stories of defensive head coaches meddling in the offense. I don't know a lot of stories of offensive head coaches meddling in the defense, right? It just seems like it's a different club for those guys, which is why some people believe you're better off hiring an offensive-minded head coach.
Because the offense is the fun and games department.
Right. Why would
and everybody wants to meddle in the fun and games department.
All right, we got time for one more. Go ahead.
Hire Billy Crystal from The Princess Bride for the OC. He can put a spell on Russ that makes him taller to see the whole field for once.
Yeah. So is that a thing now that Russell Wilson can't see again? That's now back. We're kind of back to
hasn't it always been a thing?
2012.
You tipped us off on it, and he's not wrong.
Well, there's first of all, you being sarcastic there?
No.
That he can't see?
That Russell Wilson is better off when he is outside the pocket. He's better off when he's play action, deep drop, and doesn't have guys in his face. When he has guys in his face, there's a lot of guys that he just can't see.
I mean, I'm not trying to be a smartass here, but duh. I mean,
that's what more I'm saying. So
that's now a thing again? Because we know that's a problem with him. Dude, Drew Brees will tell you. There's certain passes, certain plays they can't call because the guy can't see. And I don't think that's an insult to Russell Wilson. I think it's a compliment. How many guys can you name off the top of your head that have done what Russell Wilson's done at his height?
None. Because Drew Brees isn't his height. Drew Brees is taller than
he is.
He's
6 foot. Exactly. Yeah. So to me, that's a compliment to Russell Wilson. People look at that as an insult. No, 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 no. The fact that Russell Wilson has done what he's done and is in the top 20 in touchdowns now in the history of the NFL at his height, nobody else can do what this guy can do. It's amazing what this guy's been able to pull off. 4:55, Tim Leiwicki will join us coming up at 5:20. I want to get an update on a poll coming up next segment.
Update on the poll.
Right here on Softy and Dick. Stick around.